All right, there's this very important story a report over at Coast to Coast AM in the news section, and it's about Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg, and he confirmed today, and this is according to Bloomberg, that the Facebook Messenger app isn't as private as you may think. He said that Facebook scans some images and messages for security purposes, right out of your own cell phone. Think about that. Go read the story. It's over at coasttocoastam.com. All right, we got two segments left of Open Line. Standing in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. When I come back, I'm going straight to Aaron from Minnesota. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Standing in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Friday night, Open Lines, and as promised, Aaron in Minnesota. Aaron, you're up next. Thanks for holding.
First off, I'd like to say thanks to you for covering for George. You do a really good job.
Thank you, Aaron. It's my pleasure. It's great, you know.
We'll try to make this as quick as possible.
Sure.
Long story short, I was in the Colorado Penitentiary in Florence, and I was discussing with some of my fellow inmates the times I've been abducted within my life.
Right.
Well, the information somehow got to staff, who passed it on to security, who passed it on to Intel, and then from there passed it on to somebody. I don't know for sure if it was the FBI or not, but they came to visit me and told me I was leaving the property. Took me to a place. I don't even know the location. I just know we got on a plane in Florence, and I fell asleep. When I woke up, I was in a clinic. Now, they said they had to give me a shot for, like, medical purposes, what have you. And they gave me the shot right behind my left earlobe. And when I got back to the penitentiary, they had listed me as mentally ill and forced me to go to mental health treatment inside prison.
So this was a federal pen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was mandatory, basically. If I didn't go to the class, I would lose my parole and everything else.
Right.
12 years later, I'm still bumping into people in suits who are stopping to ask me, have you seen anything lately, Aaron?
And what do you tell them?
Honestly, I lie through my teeth because I'm afraid of these people.
Right.
But it's just odd that they can pinpoint exactly where I am. I can only assume they embedded some kind of microchip with a needle behind my ear. But not only was I court ordered to take medication in there, because what they said was my delusions were taking control of my life, basically denying any fact that I was abducted. And long story short, I'm still court ordered through parole to take medication, and told that I will have to take medication the rest of my life. Now, I find that fascinating, because all I was doing was gathering around with a group of inmates discussing abductions.
And when you got off the plane, you're in this clinic, did they ask you questions there?
They asked me questions as far as, like, why was I talking about the information in
Well, that's class. My point. That's my point. So what is it that they wanted to know? In other words, why was it so important to them? So I want to know specifically, what were they asking?
They wanted to know if I was still being abducted. They wanted to know why I was sharing that information with other inmates. They wanted to know if I felt that there was a security threat to the United States, and if I was considered myself a security threat. I said, no, I've had abductions since I was 8 years old. And
well, I don't know if Aaron is your real name. That's none of my business. But let me ask you this, Aaron. Has there been contact since you've left the penitentiary?
As far as with the aliens?
Yes.
Yes.
And
I actually continued while I was in prison.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, how does that work? No, I want to know. I want to know. How does that work? How does that happen? Do they, are they, when you say contact, was it out in the yard or was it like in your cell?
Both.
Both. So they were able to, is this a dimensional being? You know, how, or did they physically open up the door and walk in?
No, it's a, my best guess is a dimensional being.
Was it at night?
Yes.
Did you have a cellmate?
Yes.
Did he see anything?
Yes.
Really? And are you in contact after, with him?
In fact, after I got back from my trip on the airplane and they injected me with whatever they injected me with.
Right.
When I got back to my cellie was no longer there.
And so how long, okay, let's stay on this for a second. You don't mind, do you?
No, not at all.
Okay, how long were you guys cellies?
Close to a year and a half.
A year and a half. So you guys know each other pretty well, right? It's a, you know, it's a two-man cell, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys know each other really well, and if you were having contact at night, or I don't know, maybe during the day too, but your cellmate's there. He can't go anywhere. You guys have to be in your cell. You're locked down for nights, right?
Correct.
Okay, so, and he's going through all of this with you. Did you guys discuss this?
Yeah.
Of course, right? Your cellmates.
Yeah, rather thoroughly.
Right.
We, especially because it was almost ironic. Like, he woke up and asked me if I had gotten up in the middle of the night. I said, I got up to go to the restroom, and I don't remember much after that. He said, well, I had this weird dream. There were people in our room, in our cell. And I'm like, well, tell me more about it. And he went on to explain that he saw these humanoid-looking people that were standing at the foot of his bunk, and the last thing he remembers is this, like, almost levitating feeling of air, and then waking up with what he thought was a nightmare about being experimented on and things of that nature. When I told him I had the same experience, he freaked out. And
well, yeah, because that lets you both know that this stuff is really going down. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So now, so you leave the penitentiary. The contact that you are having now, is it the same beings?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, do you know them by name or anything?
One calls himself Tranquil.
Tranquils.
The other calls himself John.
John. And what do they look like? Do you know where they are from?
John has come in two different forms. He's come in the form of a gray and in the form of a human. When we first had our meeting together, he presented himself as a human being. The next time I saw him, I could tell it was him because of the voice, but he had a more like gray form.
And this is physical. This isn't like in a dream or an out-of-body experience. This is like physical in front of you.
Yeah.
Incredible. And when was the last time you talked to John?
6 days ago.
6 days ago. And what happened?
He asked me if they were still like questioning me and asking me questions. I said I didn't tell him anything. He said, good. And then he left.
And what about your family? Does your family know about this?
My fiance does. I haven't. My mom's already kind of skeptical about me, so I wasn't really eager to share information about how I'd been being abducted since I was 8.
Right.
She always said it was interesting because it's like from the first time I was abducted at 8, this is the crazy part too. Both human and gray form, John has never aged. He's always been about his, I would guess, mid-20s, 30s.
Right.
When I tried to tell my mom a little bit about being abducted, she kind of just shrugged her shoulders and looked at me and said, you need to stop with your imagination. And I said, it's not my imagination. It's been happening since I was 8 years old. And she goes, well, tell me about it. So I told her about it. And then she's like, well, I don't believe you, but if you want to keep believing that, then go ahead.
Yeah, I can understand a mom saying that. That's a bit tough to hear. But yeah. Is John an ET? Is he from off planet? Is he from us? Is he us from the future? You know, who is John? Where's he from?
My guess is an interdimensional being from somewhere in the future.
Do you think
a dimension that runs at the same plane as ours?
Right. So he's not arriving here on a ship.
No.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Oddly enough, the couple times that he's shown himself the last few months or so, he's basically, I'll be walking into a crowd and he'll just come out of the crowd.
Are you cool with it?
Well, so far, nobody's hurt me besides whatever the hell they injected behind my ear.
Right. Well, that was our government. That wasn't necessarily ET. And so John is the same person, being, entity that you have been in contact with since you were 8. No matter where you live, no matter where you are, in prison, whatever, it's been John this entire time.
Correct.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. Do you write this down? You must have so many events. Do you remember everything?
I'm writing them all down to start a book.
Yeah, I would suggest that. Well, Aaron, if John comes and hangs out, you need to call me back here on Coast and tell me about it.
All right.
I know, I'm serious. I'm being serious. Okay?
I really
appreciate it. And you sharing this story, you know that there are others out that are listening to you, and they will call in and share their story because you were able to step up, okay?
Well, and that's why I wanted to call and share my story, because I feel that not only for my safety but the safety of others, if we're all voicing ourselves publicly, they're less prone to accuse us of being insane.
That's exactly right.
We'll have to listen.
Aaron, be safe out there, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. That's a great phone call right there. Thank you, Aaron. And again, anything pops up, John comes and hangs out, he's got a message or whatever, I do want to hear from you, Aaron. Let's go east. Alan, Atlanta, you're up next on Coast.
Timmy, what a great show you're having.
Yeah, I'm having a good time tonight.
You start out with this little video, and then you're talking about the existence of God and aliens together kind of thing on a different planet.
All in one night, Alan. And that's, you know, it's like somebody pinched me. This is my gig. This is my job, right?
You get paid for this.
I absolutely do. I get coffee and cookies. That's what they give me when I get here. Tonight it was salted caramel cookies, and I got some coffee, and I need some water, and they hook me up, and I take phone calls.
That's great.
What's on your mind tonight, Alan?
I got a problem with this video. I've been looking at it while you've been talking away and everything. And now I have a 40-year background of amateur photography. I'm also a professional handheld cameraman.
Don't bum me out, Alan. Don't bum me out.
Well, then we better hang up.
Oh, Alan, what's wrong with that video? That's a fun video to watch.
I cannot say for sure, and I don't know cell phone technology. It was obviously shot with the cell phone held vertically.
Right.
But to me, it just seems too static.
Yeah, you know what? And see, when it's like that, and I agree with you, but when it's too much of something, it doesn't matter what it is, right? When it's too much of something, that's a dead giveaway. I think it's like perfect. It doesn't have too much of something, you know, that pushes it over the top, too much, you know, wind noise or shaking or reflections.
Part of that is the capability of the camera itself. Like what confuses me is, like, if you're looking at the two dots to the left of the big bright light in the center.
Right.
It twinkles like a star normally would. But is that just the sensor being on the very edge of being able to read that reflection that either came off the edge of a zoom lens,
right,
or came off of a double pane window or something like that? The biggest problem is we don't know anything about the video, what it was shot through. Was it shot directly through the air from a cell phone? You know, that kind of thing.
I'm looking at it here. If it could be, I don't know if it's shot outside, but if it's shot through glass, then I'm going to be bummed out. But did you see, when I brought up the Turkish UFO video with Roger Lear, and you look at those side by side, that looks very, very similar. But it could, you know
did
what?
You see the ones from Los Angeles? It was a news desk and there was traffic curving to the.
Yes. I saw that. I debunked that in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, the same thing with me. And that's what I'm thinking this one falls under also.
All right, Alan. I'll take another look at it.
I don't know about the seagulls yet.
I know. Oh, yeah, right. That was good. That was good, Alan. Enjoy the rest of your night, man. Thank you so much.
You too. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Great phone call right there. Let's go to, I got to go. I do this every single time. I'm going to do it now. Truckers first. Greg is driving in Texas. Greg, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, what's going on?
What kind of tractor you got?
Well, actually, I'm not in one. I'm actually in a rental car right now.
Oh, see, Tommy said you're a trucker in Texas.
Yeah, I am. I'm not a trucker. I'm headed from Dallas to Colorado Springs to see my son. He's in a competition up there, and I promised him I'd be there, so I'm on my way.
Right on, Greg. Well, that's what dads do.
Absolutely. I'm proud of him. But anyways, here's what I'm calling. I'm calling about a couple of things. First off, I've never called in before, and I'm really excited about this opportunity to learn and to share my own opinion and get some feedback from you. I'm just dipping my toe into my 50s, and with that comes, at least for me, some sleepless nights, and I think it's hormones or something, but I will tell you that's afforded me a lot of time to watch YouTube content that I never did before.
Right.
Not as much. So kind of in that same genre as you were talking about Google, knowing where you're headed and how long it's going to take you there, for some reason YouTube has decided that it thinks I'm very interested in flat earth theories and UFOs and this whole QAnon phenomenon that's going on right now.
Right.
And maybe they're right. You know, I didn't really know that much about it until I started watching it. But anyways, my point is I've got a couple of things for you here. What I heard you say earlier that one of the things you're not quite there on the earth, flat earth thing. And I'm not either really.
Oh, I'm not quite there. I'm not there. This earth is round.
But here's the thing with me. It's like a lot of things that people say on your show or just in general, I do raise my eyebrows because I've got my own belief system. Mm-hmm. But if somebody delivers a message with passion, I'm interested, and I want to hear why they believe that. And I think that's something that you do, and you pull that out of people, and I appreciate it. I like that.
Yeah, thank you for that. But that's what's most important, too. And I'll say this, and I'm serious, Greg. What bothers me is when somebody says they are right and I am wrong. I don't live my life that way. I listen to everybody. And that's the only way you're going to learn. How do you take steps forward? You take steps forward by listening. You know, you may just pick up a little kernel, right? Just a little bit of something. But if you refuse to listen, then you'll never get that kernel. So how do you grow? How do you grow, right?
That's exactly right.
That's what I do here. Okay, Greg, really quick. I've got 15 seconds.
Oh, man. Okay, so I spent too much time on the flat earth thing, but here's something that you could find out from them is like, based on their theories, you know, we can't get out of the quote unquote dome. I wonder how many of that 14% that believes that in aliens and UFOs, because technically they can't come in with the flat earth theory.
That's exact. So, Greg, that's the best point ever. And thank you for the phone call. When it comes to flat earth, how does E.T. come and hang out if we got a dome up there? It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. If you appreciate what I do here on Friday nights and Saturday nights over here on Coast to Coast, and you dig it, come and check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. It's Monday through Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, right before Coast to Coast. So you get 3 hours of my show ends, then you get 4 hours of George, 7 hours of supernatural, paranormal, conspiracy, UFO, Bigfoot, Egypt, all that stuff every night of the week. Okay, so go and check it out. All you have to do, click on my name over at coasttocoastam.com. It'll take you straight over there. And also, all of our show information is right there on Twitter. I am a big social media person, at J Church Radio. Follow me on Twitter and come and hang out, and you can send me any messages or interact any way that you would like. This is Coast to Coast AM, Friday night, standing in for George Norrie, our host Jimmy Church, and I will get to the rest of your phone calls next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Friday night, open lines. We've showed this video from Columbus, North Carolina, of this mothership up there. Pretty amazing video, whatever it is. But now I've got one, two, three, four calls right in a row here from North Carolina. So let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're in North Carolina. What do you think of the video?
Yes, hello, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. I actually haven't seen the video. Can you believe it?
Really? Well, you need to go and see it, Kevin.
I definitely intend to. Trust me. I'm traveling right now. I'm on the road. Not a trucker, though. And very interesting program you have here. And by the way, you are an excellent listener. When I was young in elementary school, a bunch of my friends and I were playing ball behind the. And it got dark, and this object came overhead. It was completely dark, but you could see the silhouette.
Hey, Kevin, you keep dropping out. All right, sorry about that, Kevin. The call keeps dropping. Let's go to Craig in North Carolina. Craig, have you seen the video?
I sure have.
What do you think?
It impressed me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was going to let you know where Columbus is. Columbus is, I'm near Charlotte. Columbus is about 110 miles west of Charlotte in the foothills of the mountains.
And it's what do you think? As you look at it, Alan earlier suggested that it could be a reflection in glass. What do you think?
Well, I think it's legitimate.
Yeah, I do too. It's a legitimate video of something in the sky.
Yeah, there are a lot of hoaxes out there. You've got to be skeptical to a point, but I don't know. And also, real quick, earlier there was talking about aliens, talking about if they had knowledge of God or anything in that vein. I can't remember where I read this. It's been a good while back about someone having a hookup or a connection with an alien and had asked that question, is there a God? And this guy got back, if he was truthful, he said that this alien intimated to him that there is only one.
Okay. Well, if we use that, and I have no issues with it, Craig, is this. If we go back to the Big Bang, the beginning of everything, right?
Right.
I don't think that's chance. I don't think it was an accident. And I don't think it's the only time that it's ever happened. I think there's a multiverse. I think there are an infinite amount of universes out there, like we have stars in the sky.
Yeah.
I really do. And so whatever intelligence is behind that has been doing it forever.
Yeah.
And so that could be what others are calling God. I don't know. We'll find out eventually.
Anyway, you've done a great job here tonight, man.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go to, I got to stay in North Carolina. Nathan, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Have you seen the video?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
It reminds me incredibly a lot of something else that I've already seen a couple of times here. We're in the northwest corner of the state,
right
bordering Virginia and Tennessee, so we're right next to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Tend to see a lot of odd things up here over time, but it reminds me strongly of a TR-3B. But I've never seen one of those that was hovering. I've seen two pass over here we've got a farm, and you always hear that they make a really strange, like a thrumming noise.
Really?
Those engines. Yeah. And like, it's like you're seeing the front side of it by the shape.
Right.
Whereas the backside, you'd see those two rectangular kind of ice blue colored engines,
right?
Thrusters, whatever they are,
right?
But like I say, I've seen one pass over at night, foggy low, and I mean they're huge. And then I've seen one on a clear night pass over, and the lights with the shape and everything, I mean, are identical.
So what do you think about the comparison that I did for everybody with Roger Lear and his Turkish UFO video? I mean, that was a pretty famous video. Still out there. But when you look at it side to side, that looks like the same ship to me.
I have to be honest, I've not seen that.
Jump over on Twitter, Nathan. Jump over on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio, right? And go look at my feed, and you'll see it up there. It's pretty interesting.
But, you know, if these aircraft are supposed to be almost space-worthy and super fast, you know, as all the things you hear about the TR-3B, you know, for years it didn't exist and blah, 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 and it's been seen enough now, you know, it doesn't seem that plausible for it to be seen elsewhere.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. And so not necessarily interplanetary or anything like that. It is just some type of anti-gravity ship triangle that flies in our atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe something experimental. I mean, you know, for years, like I say, we heard it didn't exist.
Sure.
And there's been enough sightings of it now to where pretty much everybody knows it does.
I photographed one. I saw one. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, if you've seen the frontal shot, then you see where I'm going with that.
I do.
I sure don't want to burst a UFO bubble because we see plenty of strange things up here in the sky.
Right.
And of course we see a lot of things that aren't unexplainable. We have tons of ospreys come through in like groups of five or six for some odd reason, and they'll stop over certain mountains and hover, and one will sit in one spot and the others will circle like maybe one at a mile out, one at 2 miles out, one at 3 miles out, and do kind of odd, crazy stuff and then fly off and all hours of the night.
I had an osprey, and thank you, Nathan, for the phone call, and be safe out there. I had an osprey fly over the house in Burbank last week, and I got to tell you, it was low, too. I had never seen one like that. I've seen them from a distance, but this went right overhead, just a few hundred yards up in the air, and freaked out my wife pretty good. I've got to do this. I'm going to do it. I got to go to Brad Trucking in Indiana. Brad, you're up next on Coast.
Thanks for taking my call, Jimmy. And you got to love the David Lee Roth, man. And that last bumper music you had, man, that sounded like some really good funky 60s music. I don't know who that was, but
that's the Temps, man. That's the Temps. That's the Temptations.
Man, that was good though. That sounded really funky.
Yeah, man, it's pretty good stuff. Papa is a Rolling Stone. Thank you for recognizing that, Brad. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, have you ever heard of Gary, Indiana?
Say what?
Have you ever heard the town called Gary, Indiana?
Gary, Indiana. That's where the Jackson 5 is from. I used to walk those streets.
But I've heard of a haunted house or something like that called a demon house. Have you ever heard of that?
Absolutely. I think, who just bought that?
Zach.
Yeah, Zach Bagans just bought that house. Yeah, Zach Bagans bought it.
Well, I watched a video of, I guess he just recently made a movie of that. And I was just calling to see what you thought about, I don't know if you ever seen it or not, but I'm.
No, I haven't seen it, but Tommy here has spent the night in that house, and he was telling me about it. Tommy, you spent the night in the demon house, right? Oh, he's not listening to me. Okay, sorry about that, Brad. But, yeah, I know. The thing is, he bought the house because it was the most haunted house, like, in America. And it went up for sale, and he did a couple of ghost hunter, ghost adventure shows there. And went and snapped up that house and made a movie. I haven't seen it yet, but
apparently at the end of the movie, I'm not going to give anything away, but from what I understand, that like whatever he saw there messed his vision up.
Spoiler alert, Brad. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
That's all right, man. Hey, be safe out there. Okay.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, though.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. Nothing. truckers always get to the front of the line. Okay, who's up next? Somebody help me out here. Let's go international. Rochelle, Windsor, Canada. Rochelle, you're up.
Well, hi there, Jimmy. Excuse me.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I really am. If I could quickly just address the religious folks who were calling earlier.
We're at the end of the show, Rochelle. Okay. So can you do the quick version of setting everybody straight?
Well, I just would like them to remember from Plato to Aristotle and Bob Marley to Martin Luther King, all that has to do for evil to exist is for a good man to do nothing.
Ah, there you go, Rochelle.
Okay, and instead of looking inside, you know, pointing a finger at all of us, take a look and say, you know, and maybe they'll see. Maybe they'll understand. But anyways, I really want to talk to you about, have you checked out all the volcanic activity under the ocean?
Have I checked out all of the volcano activity under the ocean?
Yes.
I have not, Rochelle, but what's the short version? What's going on?
Well, with the new technology that they've got now, the scientists from all over the world, in the Antarctic, they've found all over the world. And, I mean, volcanoes, you know, created all of our islands, of course. There's a huge, huge influx right now. And instead of global warming, maybe that's why you see things are warming up. The temperatures, the water's warming up. It's really this year, the Pacific Rim under the Antarctic, oh, yes, there's all sorts of evidence of it.
Yes, there is. And the reports that came out last year, thank you for the phone call, Rochelle. The reports that came out last year about all the volcano and the tubes and the lava tubes and everything that's going on underneath Antarctica, it just makes you wonder, you know. So we have global warming, but maybe there's something else melting the ice. And on top of that, those chambers underneath the ice, I have read reports, I don't know, I haven't been to Antarctica, but that it's 70 degrees, 75 degrees. I mean, it's nice. I don't know. I really don't. Okay, let's see. Who's been on hold the longest? Let's go to Jack in Texas. Tejas. Jack, you're up next.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Church. It's an honor. I've been a big fan of the show since the 90s and listening to Art Bell, and it's the first time I've ever called in.
Thank you, Jack. Wow, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, Art Bell once scared me real bad with an intellectual thought, and I'm going to try to return the favor. It's either going to depress you or scare you. Are you familiar with Fermi's paradox?
Of course.
Okay. Are you familiar with that bit of phrase from Sherlock Holmes that says that once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth?
It has been quoted many times.
Okay. So I've got the truth for Fermi's paradox. It comes down to one of two possible solutions. Why are the heavens silent of radio traffic if there should be hundreds of thousands of civilizations out there, but we don't hear their radios because we're transmitting radios? Why do we not hear theirs? There's only two possible solutions. One's real depressing, one's real scary. The depressing one is that life is really, really rare.
Right, I got that. And what's the second one?
The scary one is that there is a civilization out there, and it is listening for radio signals, and it doesn't like its neighbors. It wants to be the only intelligent civilization. And every time it hears intelligent radio signals, it goes and wipes them out. And then, because it wants to be the only intelligent civilization. And so our radio signals are going out there to wherever the killer death fleet is.
Yeah, it's possible. And I can give you three and four. I can give you three, four, and five. So a simple one for number three is this, that they stopped using the closest to us, which would be the signals we would hear first, right? The closest to us stopped using radio a million years ago. They don't use it. They don't use it. That's it. And quite possibly when they were using radio, we were not around yet on Earth. I'm talking about us. What if they were broadcasting radio signals a million years ago? We weren't here to listen to it, and it blew past this planet a long time ago. And they moved on. They don't use it. And so, and I'll give you an example of that, right? And again, I don't want to be a bummer here. I just call it like I see it. Is this, do you think in 100 short years, that we're going to be using radio? No, we're barely using it now, right? Here we are, coast to coast. I'm on the radio, right? How many people listen to us through the internet? How many people listen to us through satellite, right?
Satellite is radio transmission. Cell phones are radio transmission.
Microwave and all. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In 100 years.
I understand what you're saying. If it's out there, it's going to be out there in lots of places. And we
could be.
All.
Absolutely. And it has to be specifically pointing towards us, right? So always look at it like that. When we are searching for radio signals, we have to point our radio antennas directly at a star, right? We just don't sweep the skies. It's not everywhere. So there, I'm with you, Jack, and we can go there to 3, 4, 5, and 6, and we'll do that at another time. All right, my friend?
All right.
Thank you. You have a great night. What a great night of phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And I do, and I really mean this, and I say this often enough, but seriously, it's the best night of the week. Open lines on Coast to Coast. Last night on my show, I do open lines all night long, and I know that I'm going to come in on Friday night and do open lines. And so I get two nights in a row. I don't know how many phone calls I've taken in the last 2 days, but it's probably a couple of hundred. And I just want to thank all of you for that and allowing me to come and hang out with you. And I want to give all of the thanks in the world to Dan, Tommy, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, Sean, Greg, Chris, of course, George and Rita, and everybody else out there. This will conclude another Friday night on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Go Beckley Tepe.